Welcome to Blondie and the Brit, Writing, Publishing, and Beyond. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com. Welcome to Blondie and the Brit podcast. I am Blondie, KJ Waters.
And I'm Suzanne Cowman, I'm the Brit.
And together we're Blondie and the Brit.
Yay!
Woohoo! I am the author of Stealing Time.
And I'm the author of The Rejected Writer's Book Club.
Welcome to Blondie and the Brit. This is a part two of an interview we had with Haley from Buffer. Buffer is an app that you can use to help schedule your social media posts. And in this podcast, we talk about some more advanced features and some information on how the company got started. Welcome to Blondie and the Brit. Today in the program, we have Haley from Buffer. Haley focuses on all things press related at Buffer. Originally from Canada, she's also lived in Germany, Colombia, and the US, and will kick your butt at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Buffer is a social media sharing platform that can be used on the computer or mobile, and they describe themselves as the best way to drive traffic, increase fan engagement, and the easiest way to save time on social media. Welcome, Haley.
Thank you so much, KJ. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we're very excited to have you.
Give us an inspiring story of how Buffer helps someone be successful in their business. And you can be general if you can't think of one particular.
Yeah, well, I mean, I had the great pleasure of chatting with a couple of startup founders recently, and a couple of them were so inspired by Buffer that they based their entire business transparency model off of Buffer. And so I was talking to them because I found their product and I absolutely adored their product. And so I started using their product and they reached out to me and they're like, we're so excited that you're using our product. We've been very inspired by the way that Buffer does things. And we are journaling about our goal to get to $1,000 a month in revenue online. And it's all because of Buffer. And so that was really cool to me that I found these guys organically and that it turns out that they had been inspired by Buffer the entire time.
And I love that inspired by your business model, not even your product. I mean, how often are we inspired by someone's business model? Like, never.
Yeah, we just had another company recently that just launched a salary formula. So if you want to work at that company, there's a formula for how much you get paid, same as Buffer. And we have a salary calculator, and they just launched a salary calculator, and they gave us some credit in the blog post, and they said, hey, thanks so much to Buffer for, you know, taking off with this idea, and we're very excited to be doing this as well now. Here's how much you would make working at our company.
So what can we kind of expect for Buffer? You've shared a little bit, but what can we expect for Buffer in the future? I mean, how are you developing in any other ways that we can be excited about?
We have so many things going on. I was pretty excited about Instagram coming out. Let's see. I'm trying to think of things that we have going on in the product roadmap right now. We're always making changes to Pablo. I don't think we've talked about Respond at all, but that's another product that we do have at Buffer. So we're continuing to work on Respond. It's a really easy way to respond to people on Twitter. This works out really well for large organizations that might get hundreds of tweets incoming a day, and to have an entire customer service team sit down and respond and just be able to respond only there and not have to worry about everyone logging into Twitter and having access to Twitter.
Wow.
Oh, that's great.
I think that's something we're working on right now is also influencer reports. And it's something that is for the Buffer for Business, but we're working on being able to analyze your Twitter followers and telling you who of your followers or who that is engaging with you is influential and how they are, and then giving you those reports so that it's useful information.
We've had quite an interesting experience with that over the last few years with our authors. You know, you can have authors that have a lot of followers and don't really engage them, so you don't see much return on the podcast. And you can have somebody who's got just 3,000 followers so engaged with their audience that you have the, you know, it gets retweeted 50 times, you know, and it's like you really don't know by looking sometimes at a profile of how engaged people are. So that's really helpful.
Yeah.
I think I always look when I look at a profile, I do look at followers, but I'll look at their last couple of tweets and see how the engagement has been or posts. Are people liking it? Are people favoriting it? Is it being shared? Are there comments or people replying? And just kind of looking in that way, I think speaks a lot more to engagement levels than followers. Because I mean, followers can be purchased and followers might not be online all the time. So just looking at who is engaging and like how much engagement is actually happening.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
What is the most unusual way you've heard of someone using Buffer?
Let's see. That's a really good question. I talked to this lady the other day, and she didn't use Buffer for anything except Pinterest. And I was like, oh, how often do you post to Pinterest? And she was like, 100 pins a day.
What?
I was like, what? You spend 100 pins a day? Like, so she is really committed to one social network. That one kind of blew my mind.
Yes, that's cool.
Do you have a good following on that?
Yeah, she must have an amazing following on Pinterest. Or maybe she's just, trying to build it very aggressively.
that's interesting though. Like that's the perfect example of pick your platform and rock it, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Interesting.
Cool. Uh-huh. Give us your number one tip for being successful on social media.
Oh, you know what? I think I've already said it, but I can come up with something else too if you don't like this one. But
yeah,
my number one tip is to pick only one or two networks and to be awesome at those and not to try and spread your efforts across all of them.
Perfect. It's good to say it again, even if you did. What is the most frequent question you get asked at Buffer?
Let's see. Recently, I've been getting a lot of, how is this different from Hootsuite?
Yeah. And we didn't ask you that. How is it different from Hootsuite?
Yeah, and I mean, I think actually that's something that we should get into because Suzanne,
I use Hootsuite too. So I spend a lot of time
with
it.
Have you ever opened up, Suzanne, you mentioned that you've opened up Buffer in the past, but you haven't seen it recently. So the thing is that last time I got asked this question, I was in person with people and I could tell them, imagine the Hootsuite dashboard, imagine what it looks like. And there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of moving pieces. And Hootsuite is amazing for a type of person and specific type of marketing that you do. When you open up Buffer, it's a very nice, white, clean page. There's only one thing happening at once. So we really focus on UX. So like one of the biggest things people will notice switching from Hootsuite to Buffer or even just trying Buffer after using Hootsuite is that the interface is completely different. It's very simple and streamlined. Another thing is that they like the ability to schedule. You set your schedule for the week and you don't have to schedule every post. You don't have to think about like, when was my last post scheduled? And do I want this to go out at 256 or 258? Like you don't have to think about that. We'll help you with our optimal timing tool. It's already set. So then you just start adding your posts and they line up one after another. I think those are some of our biggest differences.
Wow. And I love that. I need to try you guys again.
Yeah.
I think I had a problem with the app on my phone. It kept shutting and it might've been something to do with my phone. So I just kind of gave up in the end, but I do need to go try Buffer again. Cause it sounds incredible.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to hear about it.
Once again, Kate, you're at this question. Give us some dirt on Joel, the co-founder, but then maybe share a story of how he started the company.
Oh, all right. Let's see. I don't think there is any dirt on Joel. I think he's like the most kind person that I've ever met. I always describe Joel to my friends when they're like, what's the CEO of Buffer like? As almost kind of like a Yoda of like the Yoda of Buffer. When he will come in, he'll jump into these conversations and he just has like these amazing insights. So the story about how Buffer was started was that Joel was struggling with exactly what I just described. He didn't want to have to think about when to post and what days were best to post. He really just wanted to tweet three times a day and he wanted a super simple way to tweet three times a day. So he started Buffer out of his bedroom in Birmingham in the UK. So that's where he started Buffer from on a rainy October afternoon or probably evening, knowing developers. Let's see. So he started Buffer without coding. He started just by putting up a landing page that said, sign up if you're interested in, you know, tweeting three times a day. He has the exact copy somewhere on the Buffer blog. We still have screenshots of it. And so he started with that to see if people were interested and he started getting email signups. And then he started seeing if people would pay him, would they pay $5 to have access to Buffer? And it kind of went from there. So he had a really, really interesting way of going from minimal viable product to earning income within 6 weeks, I think.
Wow. That's incredible.
What other apps can you expect to see similar to Pablo that will be used with Buffer? Have you got anything out there that you're thinking of using?
Let's see. I love Canva. So if you want to step it up a bit and do some really fun designs, Canva makes me feel like I know how to do graphic design, which I do not. But Canva makes me feel that way, which is wonderful. So I always use, when I want to do designs that are a little bit more complicated and a little bit more unique, I'll use Canva for those very frequently in tandem with Buffer. I think that something else that we see people use a lot with Buffer has been TweetDeck. So you can follow along with different hashtags in TweetDeck. And so people will Buffer their posts. And then when they want to engage, they'll use TweetDeck and follow along with hashtags.
Mm.
And that one's created by Twitter.
Yeah, actually, I
went from TweetDeck, I went from Buffer to TweetDeck to Hootsuite. So I've been through them all at one point or another.
Me too. I started on TweetDeck and I loved it until it crashed on me like every fourth time. And I was like, you know what? I can go to Twitter. That's fine.
Yeah, I've had that happen to me before, but I have a lot of faith in TweetDeck. Yeah. I think it's
it's probably improved a lot. They may have even been updating, you know, putting some amazing thing up on there when it crashed. You know what I mean? I give them credit for always improving it and stuff. I think right after that I discovered Buffer and I was like, I don't even need TweetDeck because this does all the different other social media sites.
Oh, that's so awesome to hear.
Yeah, and I told Suzanne I got you on Buffer, didn't I?
Yeah, I was on Buffer. That's how I heard about it. You told me about it.
I need a Buffer prize or something. I need a hat or something. This is Buffer. Yeah.
Did you have a Buffer hat for KJ?
You know what? We don't have hats. We just started designing socks, though.
Huh? Socks! I need a Buffer.
Could we have one each?
One each!
Let me talk to our community manager and see how many socks we have left.
Hilarious. One each. I want two. I don't want a cold foot.
Promise to take a picture of it and put it on social media.
We will definitely post our socks. Buffer socks. That is hilarious.
Buffer socks. I love it.
Now listen, there's something I meant to put in here, but as I wrote the questions at, I know, like 12:30 last night, I'm not even lying, I forgot to ask you about the blog. Buffer has a spectacular blog that teaches amazing information about social media and its products. So tell us a little bit about that blog and give people a place to go to find it.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for the kind words. It is very easy to find. It's just blog.bufferapp.com. And we have our social blog where we talk about social media marketing and all things marketing. We also have our Buffer Open blog, which is where we talk about productivity and transparency and work culture. So it's all on there. I think that's how most people find Buffer is through our blog. We try to write really high quality, easy to understand content. And a lot of our content is very long form. So you're not going to get a short post. You're going to get very in-depth exactly what's happening right now. And we write a lot of guides recently. We just released a guide to Facebook advertising. I think we have a guide coming out on Snapchat marketing soon and coding for marketers. So we try to do really long form content as well. We have been very humbled to receive quite a few marketing awards for our blog as well in the social media marketing world. So it's great to see that it's helping so many people.
Woohoo. Well, I tell you, when I go and find the library option, I'm sticking there. Whatever that one was called where you have content show up, that would be one I would absolutely have show up in my feed.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's a content inbox.
Content inbox, yes. Buffer blog would definitely be first thing on that list.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's great. Suzanne, have you been sharing some of their content?
No, I didn't, because I actually share quite a lot about social media tips.
Yes.
And you're not in my, you know, favorite list. I need to go find you.
Do that.
So if people want to find you on social media, give us just some URL so we can find you.
Yeah, well, buffer.com is where it's all at for finding all things Buffer. And then we're at Buffer everywhere on social, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, on Snapchat. If you're on Snapchat, we're Buffer Snaps. We were a bit slow to that one, I guess. And Google Plus, if you're on Google Plus. So Pinterest, definitely you can find us on all of those. And we use Respond for all of our tweets. So if you tweet us anything, we try to respond super quickly. We have a great team of Twitter happiness heroes that work on the Buffer customer
Twitter
service side.
Twitter happiness heroes.
I love that. You guys are the best company. Oh, my God.
Just because you mentioned it, we should maybe talk a little bit about Snapchat, just so people know what that is.
Yeah.
Because I just found Snapchat. I know Snapchat's been out for a little while, but I just couldn't take another social media right away. So tell us a little bit about what that is and how that's up and coming.
Yeah, well, I think Snapchat started out and everyone was giving it a hard time for mostly being for teenagers and for inappropriate things.
Yes.
But Snapchat has really quickly turned around from there, and it is currently my favorite social network. I spend way too much time on Snapchat. And I think it's because it's the social network that feels the most personal to me. When I'm on Facebook, I get brands on there. I get, I don't know, people that I'm, you know, friends with on Facebook, but not really friends with. On Twitter, I get all sorts of marketing people. I don't necessarily know them. On Instagram, I follow lots of bloggers. So these aren't my friends and family. On Snapchat, I have my friends and family, because you can't just go through a list and follow anyone. You have to know someone's username to add them. So I have, you know, my brother, my sister, my dad on Snapchat. All my best friends are on Snapchat. And so it's great to just be able to send super quick photos, add some text. And it's more personal because it's, you know, I can send a funny photo of my face or like I send tons of photos of my cats. If anyone has me on Snapchat, it's just mostly cat photos and dog photos.
Catterday.
It's more personal, so it's not, you don't have to take a photo and save it to your camera phone, like your camera roll, and then send it. You take it through Snapchat, and then it disappears after 10 seconds, right? And so you don't have to worry also about it, like, and some people can screenshot, but like, if it's funny photos of my face that I'm sending to my best friend, I'm not going to take a million on my camera roll and then keep them there. You know, I can just send it super quickly to her.
But how does that work for social media? Do people use that at all, or is it just more personal?
Yeah, so I use it a lot more personally, but it is starting to be used for marketing in a very interesting way. So you'll see on Twitter and Facebook and even Instagram, a lot of brands are sharing what their snap code is so that you can find them and add them. And they take that personal side of social media and include it in their marketing. So if you want to go behind the scenes of any company, they'll do interviews with different employees. At Buffer, we'll do marketing tips, and we'll have an employee take over. We'll have other tech companies take over our Snapchat. So it's kind of almost like the personal side of social media, because it's so much more like video content.
I just read somewhere, I think it was yesterday, that they reckon social media content by next year, 70% will be video.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I mean, Snapchat is just dominating right now. I think they get so many views. It's something like 10 million views a day. Like, it is a ridiculous amount. Goodness. Essentially, if you are marketing to people between 18 and 34 in the United States, it's over 50% of them are on Snapchat.
Wow, that's crazy. You should be on there, KJ, because of your market.
Yeah, well, you know, I was on there when it first came out because I have teenagers, and I wanted it. There's a thing that if someone on your phone list gets it, then you'll know about it. So that's the only use I've had of it. I don't know anyone. I haven't connected with anyone on there. And apparently my daughter got on there anyway, and I never did get the notification. So my whole purpose of being on there was completely pointless. But
if your daughter didn't add her cell phone number to Snapchat, and you don't have to add your cell phone number, then there would be no way to find her through her cell phone number.
That's how it happened. But yeah, anyway, I rectified that pretty quickly. But she was 12, so you know what I mean. And what I knew about Snapchat, and that was a couple years ago, was exactly what you said, inappropriate pictures that disappear after 10 seconds. I'm like, that is not where I need my 12-year-old in that land of, ew, what's going on over here?
But it is totally the network that most teenagers relate to, that teenagers relate to the most.
Yeah.
And I remember my younger brother, he was 17 or 18 at the time, and the only way that I could get in touch with him, this is a couple years ago, was by sending him a snap that said, hey, how are you? And he would respond immediately, but if I texted him, I'd hear nothing.
Because he was not the tech. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, you know, Suzanne, I'm thinking, like, I don't know how many social media networks we absolutely need, but it would be fun at some point to get on Snap and do some behind the scenes. I hear Suzanne and I recording the podcast and, you know, the award show or something like that.
It would be fun. You know, maybe we'll do it for the award show. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, Snap. Yeah, so, but then you have to maintain it after that. Once you get people on there, you have to do something. So, I don't know, we'd have to figure that out, but... It's interesting. Yeah, that's a very interesting thing to have the new, and then like probably in a year there'll be some other brand new social media platform and we're all going to be lost because it'll be the preteens on that one. You know what I mean? It's like there's an endless array.
For sure. Well, I mean, what recently in the news, Instagram came out with stories very similar to Snapchat stories. So I mentioned that you can take a photo and send it to a friend and have it disappear after 10 seconds. Or you can send it to friends and add it to your story, and those ones stay there for 24 hours. And so that's what we do at Buffer. Like, I do that with my nice photos and not the photos of, like, you know, my cat or my foot. And I put those on my Snapchat story, and those are viewable to anyone I have on Snapchat for the next 24 hours. Huh. And Instagram just came out with the same thing. They're rolling it out right now, but I think everyone has it. And in the top left-hand corner of your Instagram, you'll see these little bubbles of all the people that you follow with, like, colorful circle around their faces and their profile picture. And you can add your story to Instagram as well. So what's really funny is that when Instagram came out with Instagram stories, you know, as marketers, we're like, how are millennials using this? And we were, like, going in there and we're like, how are they using this? And they're all linking to their Snapchat. They're like, add me on Snapchat. But I think that now we have Instagram stories too. So if you're active on Instagram, maybe you could just, you know, keep up with that audience instead of trying to build a new Snapchat audience.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe we'll do that because we like Instagram.
Yeah, we're both on there. We don't have a Blondie in the Brit site, and I don't know if we would need one.
Well, we just have so many other sides.
I know, that's the thing. Like,
just keep the head above water with everything else. So
that's the problem, you know.
It sounds like there's so much happening at once.
Well, Paul Linton would just blow his mind, I'm sure.
Yeah. That's the thing, that, like, when you say focus on two, I focus on Twitter and Facebook. I'm on the others, and I, like, go out there, you know, once or twice a week just to stay in touch. But the two that I'm really active on. In terms of Twitter and Facebook, do you have any concept of who's best to market to on those? What age groups or what kind of people are on those? Who are we reaching by using those two particular?
I think that there's some research, but Twitter and Facebook are both pretty broad. I think that Instagram and Snapchat, LinkedIn, even Pinterest have narrowed in a little bit more on who their audience is, but because they're still a little bit younger and not as widely used, maybe. But Twitter and Facebook, you just get so many people.
Right.
It's a pretty broad range.
Everybody and anyone, and probably half of them aren't interested in what I'm putting out there. So that's the thing.
It can be hard to reach people. Facebook is a tough one. I've always had a little bit of a struggle with Facebook, just the way that the algorithm works, and just trying to, you know, get people to notice you as a brand is a little bit harder.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think once you get a circle around you of people, but the problem is it doesn't extend a whole lot past that. So
that's the reason that Facebook Live has been so exciting, is that Facebook has been prioritizing their live videos recently. So get on the video, and that shows some more people.
Yeah, we should
Is that right? What great information.
Yes, it's been a great interview. Haley, it's been a lot of fun having you on our program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I had a ton of fun. I've just been laughing over here for an hour and a half. I hope it's been valuable for everyone else.
No, I think you did a great job of really demystifying Buffer for us, and also just showing us all these great tools that you've got. I mean, it's like, I want to go sign up right now. I'm hoping our audience does too, you know?
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Well, let me know what you think once you do. I'm really excited to hear your reaction.
Will do.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. It's been a fabulous interview.
Awesome. It's been wonderful chatting with both of you. Enjoy the rest of your days.
All right. Thank you.
You too.
Please join us next week, where we welcome author Sean Fletcher. He is the author of a newly released In the Depths of Darkness sci-fi adventure trilogy. He's taught writing classes at the Pacific Northwest Writers Association Conference and a whole bunch of other stuff. You're not going to want to miss this interview. He's a lot of fun. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com.